Hello, and we're back to Bridging the Gap.
We are so glad you decided to join us for part two of our conversation with Heather Tenney, addressing common safety questions from parents of our UC students.
I have all these new parents. What can we as parents be doing? Or let me say it this way. What's the things you see students doing that they probably get themselves into trouble doing? What are the things we can warn them about ahead of time?
Great question.
That is a great question. Because the turnover is big every year. Obviously, we get incoming students every year. So, wow. I guess the number one thing is kind of get educated.
Yeah.
Officer Sparks.
And make smart decisions. We're not stupid. We know that part of the college experience for many kids is drinking and maybe experiencing other things. Just be smart about it. And also, like, we are here to help you. If something is going wrong, maybe you had a bunch of students to your residence hall room. And now there's 30 kids packed in a residence hall room with a bunch of alcohol. And this is not what you wanted to happen. It just kind of got out of control. Call us on yourself. Make it look like you're not the bad person having a huge party in your dorm room. We also have the amnesty policy. So if you come to your residence hall room and maybe your roommate is incapacitated, call us. We'll get them the help that they need. We'll get them to the hospital. We'll do an information report, and they'll get sent to student code of conduct. We don't want someone to be afraid to call police and have a student not survive because they drank too much or took some drugs or... You know, whatever the situation may be, we are truly here to help you. We want all of our students to learn, earn, and return. So learn while you're here.
I like
you coin
it.
That yourself?
No,
like
that was
it.
A Jim Vestrin quote.
Okay. I like it.
A retired police officer. And he had one son that went here who's an engineer. But, yeah, so learn while you're here. Earn once you graduate, make lots of money, and then return money to the university. Get a building named after yourself.
I like that one.
But yeah, we truly care about your safety, and you know, mental health is also a huge thing that we deal with, and we pride ourselves on our mental health response to our students that are having mental health crises. So please do not hesitate to call UC Police.
I would say general awareness. I mean, I don't think it's even a generational thing. I think it's just society now. If you have downtime, you're pulling up that phone. You're staying on the sidewalk. Are you paying attention to what's going around you, or are you checking what's new on your social media app? I think we all do that. So I think really pushing that awareness, like, hey, maybe look up, see what's going on around you. You know, more than just traffic, but, you know, be more aware. Don't just have your face in your phone when you're walking around in a strange area or if you're not with someone else. Like, especially if you're by yourself, be more aware of what's going on around you. Everyone seems to have AirPods or headphones in, so they're not even hearing anything anymore. So take one AirPod out or just, you know, put it on mute while you're crossing the street. I think just the simpler steps for safety are the most effective. And I think just general awareness and general just be on the lookout and trust in your gut, I think, is some of the best things you can do to stay safe while you're here.
Yeah, and Greg made some good resources. I used the term earlier on, resources community. We want to be resourceful to our community members. And really the biggest thing, if you're a new student on campus or just living off campus, be mindful of who you are and your own strengths and weaknesses. So obviously if I have a daughter, she'll be here next year. So as a daughter, there's going to be different concerns for her safety versus my son when he comes to UC, right? Yeah. So as a daughter, you know, hey, if you go out to a party, I want you to be mindful of, you know, hopefully you're not drinking and doing stuff like that. But if you are, I want you to be smart about it, have a buddy system and be aware. International students, we have a big international student population. And look at the times. What's going on now? Our country is changing. We have a new presidency, new people coming in, and we've already seen it blowing up where, you know, international students are being targeted. Hey, they're going to send a message, hey, unless you pay us this $10,000, you're going to be deported, that type of thing. So we want those international students to reach out to us. Hey, I got this message, whether it's email, text, voicemail. Come to UC. If you see Officer Valeris on the street, hey, can you help me out here? I'm really scared. I got this. I'm afraid I'm going to be deported. And we can help vet that for you. So the key is, you know, depending on who you are as a student, where you're from, what your background is, we all have different strengths and weaknesses that we really need to be aware of and try to overcome.
What are some of the other concerns out there with the parents?
This is a silly one, but why do the alerts and the clearances come from two different phone numbers? Because not everybody gets the alert and the clearance. They might get one, but not the other.
That is all to do with the company that we use, okay. And we have no ability to make it come from just one phone number. That's just one of those like technology things that you just can't fix. And I think the other thing with technology is that it's not foolproof. So even me as the person who is sending some of these alerts, you know, I'm the one who hits that button sometimes. Okay. I don't always receive every single text to my phone. That's one of the other things that, I mean, you get them via email too, but then the students and faculty and staff who have that Guardian app also receive it on the Guardian app. And I get it faster on the Guardian app than it comes in any other method. So that's
I know a lot of parents are concerned about the fights that happen after school lets out. Is there, I think the being aware is probably a big part of it. I talk to my kids about that. Take the headphones off, be looking around you. They've had the benefit of traveling around the world, right? They've been overseas, so they've had that benefit, but a lot of students haven't. So what are some things that students can do to maybe be more aware in that situation, or even to get themselves out of a bad situation when they're in it?
Now, when you talk about fights after school, are you talking about the high school?
Sometimes the high school. I'm also thinking of fights that happen as bars let out. Like, you know, nothing good happens at 2 a.m. as the bars let out, right? So there are situations that they might find themselves in the middle of. How can they use the Guardian app or maybe extract themselves from these? Anything they can do?
I mean, get creative. I mean, all of a sudden, mom's calling me. Sorry, I got to step out. I got to get away from this. If you're in like a awkward situation, you need to get out. I don't think there's a parent out there that if they texted you and say, hey, can you give me a call real quick, they're not just going to call them right away, right? You can call our department and pretend like you're talking to someone else if you want to. But really, most of the fights that we see on Calhoun Street, and it's a growing issue, and our office is well aware of it and working on ways to, combat that issue, is really it's not so much random acts from what we've seen. It's more so these groups, whatever issue they have going in school, they decide to take it out, on Calhoun Street after the fact. So obviously we don't want it to interfere with other people. We want it to happen in the first place. But most of the time, from what I've seen, it's happening out there, and it's not really just grabbing random people and affecting them. So like if you see a group starting to congregate, you see a group starting to yell or have words, get out of there. A lot of times it's quick and over, and then we're right there to try and take care of it. But the fights haven't been as random acts, I would say.
And I think going back to what one of you guys said before, pay attention to your gut. A lot of our kids want to run to the fight to see what's going on
and record it.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can do. Go in the opposite direction. I tell my girls all the time, cross the street, go a different way, maybe longer, but go a different way so you get home safe. And as far as being out late at night, I always use the excuse to get out of there before the actual bar closes. You want to get out of there early. I tell them to act like you're taking a phone call, and you got to take it outside and keep on going. That's the best way to kind of break yourself away from the situation, so to speak. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. That's a big concern of mine, too.
So the key here is non-escalation. De-escalation is really the key. Remove yourself from the area. If you have to, create some type of distraction. But really, you don't want to escalate anything. We don't want to get in confrontation. Unfortunately, when you're young, sometimes maybe, especially if you're a guy, you might want to challenge them a little bit, that type of thing, and maybe your ego will get in the way. But we really encourage you not to do that. And really, non-escalation, de-escalation is really the key. Because as Greg mentioned, it's people like to get out their cell phones and record things. Next thing you got a big circle forming and just bad things can happen.
And I think as a follow-up to that, too, people have a tendency to record things and they also have a tendency to not call 911. You assume someone else is doing it or you're too busy trying to take a video, you're not going to call the police. Don't assume someone else has called the police.
Yeah, that's a great point. And sometimes up like on Calhoun Street when we're dealing with some of the local kids in the area, some of the juveniles, sometimes it can be kind of hard to decipher what's going on. Because when these high school kids get out, they're full of energy, they're kind of running around, And sometimes it looks like maybe to you and I or someone in the area that they're fighting, really they're just playing around. You know what I mean? So it's kind of that, it's like, is this really a fight going on here? Or are they just goofing around? So that causes some little bit of anxiety as well. But you got to, you know, kind of assess the area, try to analyze, you know, who's involved here. You know, if it's a high school kid, it may be just, you know, they're still a little bit immature, right? Mm-hmm. They just got that pent-up energy because they got out of the school and they're kind of running around, acting a little crazy. In reality, they're not there to harm anybody. They're just, it's just how they act. It's just how they act, unfortunately.
I think we got time for a couple more questions, and then we'll probably wrap this up. So,
This is an old adage, but a lot of us that used to be around UC heard this, that in order to stay safe, don't buy drugs. And if you do buy the drugs, pay for them. Is that still, that's a silly one.
Yeah, definitely. We all kind of open our eyes to that.
I actually heard that from a UC police about 20 years ago. So.
Really? Interesting.
I'm going to say stay away from drugs.
Yeah. I would agree with that, too. Absolutely. I would say don't buy the drugs.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't be using drugs to begin with. No.
I think the biggest thing with that is, you know, the kids who are buying drugs off the street, you just don't know what's in it. Nowadays, you know, everything's being laced with fentanyl and something else. And, you know, I tell my kids all the time, just make sure you come home. So in order to do that, don't buy them. You know, I know for some kids, they are, you know, I won't say they're addicted to it, but they just want to experiment.
They want to experiment.
Yeah, so that's the key, because you don't know what's in it. You know, I know a couple of times I've been across a situation where the kid has experimented and it's been laced with fentanyl. And that's not something... You know, I want mom and dad to know that their kids are coming home. Yeah. That's, I think, as officers and everybody here, that's our biggest thing is to send your kids back home.
Right, and I ask that question mainly because we know that in Ohio the situation's changed, right?
Correct, yes.
Marijuana is now legal. Mm-hmm. And so things are changing for parents as they send their kids here.
But that, you know, that raises a whole other issue because, you know, marijuana is legal, but it's in specific forms, right? So, you know, we have that problem sometimes up in the general public because someone might be smoking some marijuana. But legally, you know, you can't be out in the middle of a sidewalk just smoking a joint, right? It's just like alcohol. Alcohol is legal, but you can't walk down the street with a can of beer in your hand and walk around intoxicated. So that causes some confusion there. The biggest thing is abstain from it. That's what we really encourage. And if you're buying it, unfortunately, you know, some of the locals, you know, they know, hey, this is a new college kid, and they might try to take advantage of you. That's how you end up with robberies and other things going on. So not only you have to worry about being laced and you could become very ill, sick, or even die, but you got to worry about being robbed because the locals know, hey, this is some new college kids up here, and they're going to try to take advantage of them, and they're going to take your backpack and your cell phone and your laptop or whatever it is and your cash. You know, so that's always a, you know, something you got to be worried about as well as being robbed from purchasing that.
We've over the years we've had multiple drug deals gone bad. If you're going to do that, you know, obviously we don't want you to, but don't invite the dealer into your house to see everything that you have in your house. They know where you live. You know, maybe meet them somewhere or just do it outside. Just try to be as smart as possible if you're doing stuff like that.
I think the other question that a lot of parents have is for those that are living on campus, in UC housing, what are some of the things that you see students do wrong that maybe bring problems into the housing? So, like, not watching the doors, not locking things, what do you see that they can be doing right?
Propping the doors open is one. Yeah. That's the biggest one that stands out because my friend is coming in 5 minutes, so I'm going to prop this door open. And that allows a homeless person or somebody off campus to come into the housing part. I'm sure it's others out there. But
really, the biggest thing is, you know, say you're living in a residence hall on campus, and you're going into a locked facility because all residence halls have access control. So in order to get into it, you have to go through a locked door. But then when you maybe get up to the third floor or whatever floor you're living on, the problem is you don't lock the door to your residence, to your apartment, right? They leave that wide open. Hey, they leave their door wide open, then they go down the hall to their buddy's house and hang out with them. But the problem is on any given night, students let other friends and acquaintances into the residence hall, right? So now while you're down the hall in Kelly's room hanging out, playing PS4 or whatever you're doing, Carr and his buddies came over, and maybe Carr's got a friend who's not the most upstanding citizen, see that your room's wide open, and now he steals your PS4 system, right? So you got to be worried about the other students and who they're bringing in, because you don't know who necessarily who they're bringing in. So the key is, just because you're living in a locked facility, you still have to lock the door to your residence. Whenever you go in and out of that room, make sure you shut it, make sure you lock it. And then when you have people over, you know, when you have, you know, when you're socializing and you invite friends over, because if you're living in a room with, say, three other roommates, they're going to invite people over who you don't know, right? And they're going to be in your room for the first time. And now all your property's on display, and just, you never know what could happen. So, you know, encourage to have conversations with your roommates. Say, hey, listen, when you leave, please lock the door because I live here as well. I don't want my stuff stolen. And please don't let random people into the room, because sometimes you have people who invite uninvited guests over. You wake up and there's some random dude sleeping on your couch, and that can cause some anxiety for people. Right. And that creates tension for roommates. So it's tough. So the key is communication. Talk to each other. Talk to roommates. Hopefully have good roommates that communicate well, respectful of each other, and you can work through those challenges.
Also, our fire guys would appreciate me saying, please don't overload the dryers. they smoke, and I don't know if the clothes get ruined, but the fire department has to respond, and we see that a lot. Also, watch your clothes as you're doing laundry. We've had clothes stolen right out of washing and drying machines, so that would really stink to lose your whole wardrobe.
And you made a great point. So the fire extinguisher hanging down from your ceiling in your room, that's not a clothesline. Yeah. No, you can't hang your shirts up on that. That's not a good idea.
Don't pull ups on the pipes in Deacon. Yeah.
Don't hang decorations on the sprinkler system.
Oh, yeah. Don't do pull ups on the pipes in the Deacon. Yeah.
And you all also talk about writing down serial numbers for your belongings,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. Anything of value, a laptop, a gaming system, your cell phone, any headphones. Anything that's over a couple $100, I would keep track of the serial numbers in case they do get stolen. Most of the time, these things end up at pawn shops. So there is a chance if you have your serial number, we could potentially get it back. So please keep track of your serial numbers.
Are safes helpful?
Don't save your serial numbers in your phone.
Yeah, have them written down somewhere.
You said safes.
Like safes in the room for putting stuff away in? Or?
Absolutely,
I would totally agree with a safe, I mean, that just secures it even more. So that's always good.
And the key is, don't bring everything. You know, when you come here for the first time, they want to bring like their whole house with them, right?
Fish tanks.
And you don't need all this stuff. You know, just bring the bare necessities, and then, you know, feel it out for a couple weeks, and you'll figure out what you need and you don't need. But you end up with all this property that you don't really need, and then you just got to take it home.
It's a lot to move. We always hit that. Like, come with the minimum. There's a Target and a Kroger nearby, right? They can order Amazon right across the street. Anything that they don't have, you don't need to buy everything now.
That's right, because what you move in, you got to move out.
We always show them the piles at the dumpsters at the end of the year of how much stuff gets left behind that never gets opened.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate it. I didn't know if you had another question or not.
No, thank you guys. This has been very informative. I've learned things. I've been around UC for a long time, and I've learned things today I did not know before. I think my parents are going to really enjoy this.
Well, I definitely want to thank the community engagement team at the University of Cincinnati, and I also want to thank you for coming on today. It's been an honor to have you. Hopefully we can reach those parents and kind of get rid of some of that false sense of that's going around with the parents, including myself. So obviously thank you for helping us bridge that gap a little bit better. So,
and I think maybe one of our biggest takeaways is we want to talk to parents. We want to engage with parents. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from your students. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us. There are a lot of ways to reach out to us. Greg and Cara are great at talking to parents about their concerns. We have a public safety email. We have a phone line. Talk to us.
And I'll share all of those in our group. Keep them pinned. So, yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
And my mama would say, we're done.
2 for part 2.
Hit subscribe to be notified when our next episode drops.
And we look forward to bridging the gap with you very soon. Have a great day.